my favorite verse on fun or entertainment or laughter or a merry heart is Proverbs 17:22, which says, "A merry heart does good like a medicine," or like medicine, "but a broken spirit dries the bone." A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Let us pray. Father, I pray you'd be with me tonight as I do this little devotional right here in my bed. And I'm not sick, so I don't need much medicine. And yet I like this verse, and I will be preaching on several verses on the theology of fun or a biblical view of fun. So, Father, help me. Help me to communicate your truth in a way that pleases you and honors you and edifies whoever hears this message. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so this verse, Proverbs 17:22, is probably the most popular verse in regard to fun, having a good time, entertainment. And it says, "A merry heart does good like a medicine." And most people seem to take this as a kind of license for Christians to have fun all the time, to enjoy themselves as much as they can with every kind of entertainment that is just not obviously sinful. But it's basically the party hardy verse for a lot of people. And yet today, I think, even more, at least for Christians, than COVID is a problem, I think entertainment, fun, seeking a good time is more of a epidemic and more of a trouble for our country, for Christians, than any kind of COVID would be. It's got to the point where it is a kind of disease. And the reason I say this is because this verse is first misused or misunderstood. It says a merry heart does good like medicine. Well, how much medicine do you need? Usually if you're sick, if you need any medicine at all, it comes in a tiny little pill size, not a sandwich size pill, not through a three sandwich pill, but a small dosage. And we are told in Scripture that we are to work 6 days, rest the seventh day. We're not told that we are to entertain ourselves 6 days a week or 7 days. Many people think they need entertainment 7 days a week. That's why a lot of churches provide that entertainment. Some people go and hear a pastor because he is really funny. The whole service is entertaining with the music and maybe dancing and maybe even some kind of skit. And all of this is because we are a society that is hooked on entertainment. Well, what does Scripture say other than Proverbs 17:22? Well, if you go to Ecclesiastes, which I'm turning to now, I didn't mark any of these passages other than I came to 17:22, but the very next book in the Bible, Ecclesiastes, which I believe is also written by Solomon, also has a lot to say about laughter. And starting with chapter 2, and actually before that, there's some of this in chapter 1, but I'll start with chapter 2 right now, because chapter 2 verse 1 says, "I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. But surely this was also vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish?" And here Here's a very different verse than a merry heart does good like a medicine. Laughter is even called madness. Mirth, pleasure, what does it accomplish? He says, I searched my heart to gratify my flesh with wine, guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold of folly. This is Solomon talking. He had all this available to him. He could have any kind of entertainment he wanted. And he says, to lay hold on folly till I see what was good for the sons of men under heaven. I made works great, my works great. I built houses and planted myself vineyards, and I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees, and I made myself water pools to water the growing trees in my grove. And then here's the entertainment part again, verse 7 of chapter 2. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. And yes, I had greater possessions, herds and flocks of all of Jerusalem before me. I also gathered gold and silver and special treasures of kings and of the province. And I acquired male and female singers. And the male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. And my wisdom remained with me. And he says, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from pleasure. And so he did it all. He had singers, male and female entertainers to entertain him. He went after all of this stuff and... He says later in verse 13, then I saw wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. And if you go through Solomon's writings and Proverbs, wisdom is a big thing. You got to gain wisdom. And yet folly is excelled by it. There's a time for every purpose under heaven, he says in chapter 3, jumping ahead in chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes. He says this, better, chapter 7, verse 2, to go to the house of mourning, which is a funeral home, than to the house of feasting, which is a party. For that is the end of all men. You know, we all die, and the living take it to heart. I'm going to die. I'm going to stand before God. I'm going to be judged. When you go to a funeral, when you see a loved one die, you start thinking seriously. You start thinking, what am I doing with my life? And yet when you're at a party, you're not thinking of anything, really. Maybe trying to think of some trivia in regard to some game. But that's about the most of it. And the point that Solomon is making here is one thing is better for you than the other. He says, sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. Our hearts are improved by the hardships we go through, by the sorrowful things we go through. Laughter does not do that for us. He says, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Does that mean we always have to go to a funeral all the time, or that we should seek them out, whether we know the person or not? No. But our hearts are there. Our hearts don't really leave there. We think about what Jesus was saying when he says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the world and loses his own soul? The person who's often at a funeral thinks about things like that. The person who's always going to parties doesn't care if they have a soul or not. And they're ready to drown it maybe in some wine. Going a little further in Ecclesiastes, and I know I'm skipping over a lot, but chapter 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Here, rejoice, O young men, in your youth. And I don't think he's saying that sarcastically. I think he's saying that we can rejoice in our youth. Christianity is not about God being some cosmic killjoy. We're not required to take the swing out of the parakeet cage on the Sabbath, just in case that parakeet might have a little fun or pleasure with that swing. Let's take the swing out. No, that's not what Christianity is all about. Here, God knowing that we can have joy and have simple pleasures in life, he says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheerly in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Think about how you enjoy yourself and keep obedient to God. He says in chapter 12, first verse, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Oh, how I wish I started as a young believer in my 20s, memorizing verses, diligent. Oh, I'm so glad I did that. But there was a time in life where I stopped doing that. And a lot of the verses I memorized, they kind of went out of my head. And then I started to re-memorize them kind of just recently, and knowing that I have so much more difficulty memorizing them now in an older age than I did when I was younger. Not only that, but I tried to memorize them in a different version. And still the verses I know the best are the ones I remembered when I was youngest. And as I get older, I'm still younger today than I will be tomorrow. And so I better memorize now, better get serious about God now. I'm not one for game nights at church. I remember a long, long time ago, I was a young Christian, just become a Christian. And they started to go to church, and there was a bunch of us young singles together. And the pastor's daughter, she says, what do you want to do now? They were like five or six of us together. What do you want to do? And I said, let's have a Bible study. And I was excited about the thought. I thought everybody would be happy about that. And the pastor's daughter, he says, oh, I want to do something fun. Well, I still would rather have a Bible study. Now, many years later, it's the one thing I desire. It's the one thing I would want. I long for people to study the Bible with. And somebody would prefer that to games, because I know, as it says in Scripture, that more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. A long time ago, I heard a street preacher. I actually met the man. He wrote a little book. He says, 44 times the Bible says, God is the Most High. That's what he'd preach. Yet he'd have to have a one-liner for the people who were just walking by. And if he saw somebody who looked like they were on drugs, you know, in the middle of the city, you'd see people like that sometimes. And he got to recognize them. He'd say, the Bible says 44 times, God is the Most High. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. That word blessed is used a lot in Scripture. The very beginning of the Psalms. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This is the pleasurable life. When he says blessed, the word blessed is the same, you know, the English word would be happy, but it's not just talking about ordinary happiness, it's talking about true and eternal happiness. And that blessed person is one who meditates in God's word day and night. He doesn't follow the counsel of the ungodly. And so in regard to fun, he can't do those things that the flesh would count fun, that an ungodly person, a sinful person would count fun. There's no joy in those things. But there's a delight, he says, in the law of the Lord. We see all through the Psalms, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Happiness is described as being forgiven. Blessedness is used throughout the scripture. Jesus uses it in his Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are they that mourn. This seems crazy, but that fits along with what I said earlier from Ecclesiastes. Better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting, because the heart is made better. And when you mourn over your sins, blessed are they that mourn, you will be comforted. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they when they persecute you. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's not a blessing we'd expect, not being persecuted. And yet the apostles, when they healed a man in the book of Acts and were brought before the council, and they were even punished, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. And we should have a desire such joy. We are an entertainment-oriented society. We are the girls just want to have fun society. We even expect too often to be entertained at church. And yet the blessedness, the true happiness, comes from knowing God. Comes from knowing and studying God's word. And that's what we should do. Father, I pray that anybody hears this simple devotion, and I might listen to it before I put it on, because I'm not sure. Probably not a very good delivery. And there's definitely nothing written, not my usual detailed sermon outline. And yet, Father, you know who will hear this. And some, I hope, are convicted. Maybe they're more often putting too many more hours into watching TV than they are reading the scripture. And because of that, they are listening to the counsel of the ungodly and standing in the way of sinners and sitting maybe even in the seat of the scornful, because they are there. All their hours are about fun, maybe a few minutes a day, about the Bible and prayer. And yet, Father, we have something so beautiful and glorious. You know, I saw a verse, maybe not a verse, but a quote from a famous preacher, and I don't even remember who it was, but they were comparing happiness and holiness. And yet, Father, you and your word mentioned happiness even before holiness. In Genesis 1, when you bless those and say, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Blessings are a very important part of your scripture, and it's not blessedness versus holiness, but it's blessedness through holiness that we need. Father, I pray that I'd have that. And I pray I'd be a blessing to those around me and to those who hear this sermon, this little devotional. May they be blessed and not just happy, not with fun, but with faith, not with entertainment, but with eternal things like your word. We pray these things, I pray these things, in Jesus' name. Amen.